Leviticus chapter 6. And I'm going to make you work this morning because I don't have a PowerPoint, so you'll have to follow along in your Bibles. Turn to a couple different scriptures this morning. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Leviticus chapter 6. Verses 12 and 13, Children's Church is dismissed. Nancy is not here, but a couple of the teens have volunteered to take it. So if you have children that like to go to Children's Church, they can do so at this time. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Would you read verse 13 with me this morning, please? The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, burning hearts for a new year. Burning hearts for a new year. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit would take and divide the word to those that are here today. Lord, to the hungry soul, and Lord, to those that are hungry and maybe not aren't even really aware of it this morning. Lord, that the bread of life would speak to them and fill them this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, another year is dawning, and I, for one, want this year to really count for the Lord. I want it to be, for you, a spiritually prosperous and productive year, the kind of year that you can look back at later on and view it as one of the best years of your life as far as spiritual matters are concerned. And the beginning of a new year gives us a time to start over, in a sense. It's a time when we can aim higher, reach further, dream bigger, and believe stronger. Henry Ward Beecher said, every man should be born again on the first day of January. Start with a fresh page. Last year is gone. We can forget some of those things, and we can look on, and as Paul said, to press on, to press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so I would encourage you today to start over and gird yourself once more and take the things that are in the past and learn those lessons, but don't dwell there because this is a new year with new opportunities. In the coming year, I hope it's a year of great spiritual advancement and achievements. And I believe that if that is going to happen, there is one thing that is absolutely essential. I believe that we have to keep our hearts burning for the Lord. We have to keep a spiritual fire there. Just at the altar that Leviticus talks about, the fire should never go out. The fire in the heart of a Christian should never go out, but it should always be burning brightly. And if that's the case, there are some things that we are going to need to do in order to see it happen. I think all of us have seen people who've had hearts on fire and then after a time, the fire was no longer there and they began to grow spiritually cold. But the fire shall be burning upon the altar of your heart. It should never go out. This is a fire that is ignited by the Lord. When the tabernacle in the Old Testament was dedicated to the Lord, God's presence came down upon fire and it sat upon that tabernacle. And the fire on the altar burned day and night. It never went out. The priest's job was to keep the wood on the fire and see to it that that fire never went out. That fire burned continually. In the life of the Christian, I believe that as priests of the Lord, it is our responsibility to keep the fire of our heart burning. We have to keep placing the wood there. We have to keep placing the things that are necessary in order for us to keep our hearts ablaze and to never let the fire go out in our hearts. Why should we be concerned about this anyway? And why should we keep the fire in our hearts burning? Well, I want to draw your attention this morning to three Bible personalities and the effect that a burning heart had upon each of them. And in that way, encourage all of us to see the necessity of a burning heart. First, we need a burning heart to keep us going. Simply to keep us going. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. I'll give you a moment to find that. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Okay, we read that it says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." In simple words, Jeremiah, the prophet, was said, "I'm going to quit preaching. I'm going to give up the ministry. I just can't do it. I can't take it anymore. I'm just going to quit." Kind of like the fellow who one Sunday morning, his mom came into his room, found her son still in bed. And she said, "Son, you have to get up for church." He said, "I don't want to go to church today." And he buried his head in his pillow. She said, "You have to go to church." He said, "I don't want to go to church. And I'll give you two reasons why I don't want to go to church. Number one, nobody there likes me. And number two, I don't like them. So I'm not going to church." And his mother said, "Son, you have to go to church. And I'll give you two good reasons why you have to go to church. Number one, you're 45 years old. Number two, you're the pastor." Jeremiah was ready to quit. He's ready to throw in the towel. He's ready to give it all up. Why was Jeremiah, this prophet of God, willing to throw it all away and to give up? Well, it's because he was experiencing a difficult situation. Jeremiah was very bold in his preaching, and some people didn't like his boldness. And so they took him, and in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 20, we read, "Now Pashur, the son of Imer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord." So they smote him. They slapped him. They hit him in some way. And then they put him in stocks. Stocks were a cruel form of punishment. There were five holes. There's one for the head. There's two for the arms. And there's two for the legs. And the body was in this contorted, distorted position. It was a very uncomfortable and a difficult position to be in. Jeremiah is in a difficult situation. And as we face this new year, there is no guarantee that you won't find yourself in some difficult places. You know, I wish that I had a magic wand that I could just wave over you and say, only good things are going to happen to you this year, and it's going to be the most blessed year of your life. But quite frankly, we all face trials, and those trials come upon us sometimes unaware. There are manifold temptations. The Bible tells us these are many color trials. Some things might be distressful and disheartening, disagreeable, disconcerting. And I wish that I could just insulate you from all of those things, but you know that I can't. And so there are the possibilities of difficulties this year. And Jeremiah had these difficult situations that he found himself in, but he was also discouraged. And it's easy to understand why Jeremiah was discouraged. Even the strongest of Christians would be discouraged if they had to go through what he was going through. Good men are men at the best. Charles Spurgeon said, discouragement is very natural. It is a native of the soil of mankind. And so Jeremiah is discouraged. And we see in his discouragement in chapter 20 and verse 7, he says, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me." There's a couple of reasons why Jeremiah found himself discouraged, and they're right there in that verse. because of the derision that he faced. The word derision speaks of being mocked and laughed at. And so here he is, he's in these stocks, and you could picture this morning as people go by Jeremiah and they see him locked up and in this position, and they begin to mock him and they begin to tease him and make fun of him. I can understand why he's discouraged. But there's also the deception that he felt. He says to God, "Oh Lord, thou hast deceived me." God had really deceived him, but he's struggling with the feelings that God had let him down, that maybe God had left him and that he was alone. He's thinking, if I'm serving God and if I'm preaching God's word, why has these things happened to me? It's like they said in Gideon's day, you know, if the Lord is for us, why are all of these things happening to us? Why does it seem like the Lord is against us? So the great possibility of discouragement and derision this year should make us realize that to have a burning heart is an essential thing. If we are going to keep going this year, even though the temptation is when things get difficult to become discouraged, we must keep our hearts burning for the Lord. We must keep a burning heart. Jeremiah was ready to quit. But he said in chapter 20 and verse 9, "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." He said, "I wanted to quit. I wanted to throw in the towel. I didn't want to preach or mention God's name anymore. But when I thought about that, his word was in my heart as a burning fire. Then I found out that I could not hold my peace and I could not quit. I could not give up." He had heartburn. Something that Rolaids or any antacid could not take care of. He had something in his life that would keep him going even when the temptation was there to quit. What is the thing that will keep us going through the difficult experiences of life? What are the thing that will keep us going through the depressing experiences of life? It is the Word of God. How precious is God's word. I don't know who wrote this poem. It says, "Though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old that can shatter and scatter my fears. This old book is my guide. 'Tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way, and each promise I find soothes and gladdens the mind as I read it and heed it each day. To this book I will cling, of its worth I will sing, though great losses and crosses be mine. For I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine." You need to set your heart to read your Bible this year. Read it every day. It's because it's the source of a burning heart. We need to read the word, and we need to have a burning heart to keep us going. And secondly, we need to have a burning heart to keep us growing. Now I want you to turn over to Psalm 39, if you would. Psalm 39. Let's look at verse 3. We find David saying in verse 3, "My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue." While I was musing, the fire burned. In David's heart, we are reminded that a burning heart keeps us growing. Keeps us growing because David remembered his covenants. He remembered his commitments. Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher of the 1700s, was known for making covenants with God. He referred to them as resolutions. And of course, this is the time of the year, first of the year, where many make New Year's resolutions. Jonathan Edwards had 70 such resolutions that he made when he was 20 years old. And he read those 70 resolutions each week. For example, resolution number 3 read, "Resolved, if ever I shall fall and grow dull, so as to neglect to keep any part of these resolutions, to repent of all I can remember when I come to myself again." In a similar fashion, David made resolutions. He made certain covenants. In that Psalm 39, he's recalling those resolutions in verse 1. Psalm 39, verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. And so here we see David making certain resolutions. One, he had resolved to keep his ways. Two, he had resolved to not sin with his tongue. And three, he had resolved to bridle his mouth. I believe that Christians ought to make covenants or commitments or resolutions with themselves and God. Let me give you a short list of spiritual commitments you can make. How about reading the Bible daily? That should be a decision every Christian makes. There's also the matter of praying regularly and attending church faithfully, tithing consistently, witnessing personally, working energetically, living devoutly. Those are all commitments that we need to make. And I mentioned just a couple of moments ago that Jonathan Edwards had 70 of these resolutions. Let me give you a couple more of them. Resolution number 6 was, resolve to live with all my might while I do live. Resolution number 7, resolved never to do anything which should I be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Again, those are good resolutions that any of us can make. And David made these resolutions or these covenants, but there came a time in his life when he had to renew those. Because he says there in Psalm 39 and verse 2, I was dumb with silence, I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. It seems that he had become a little lax in keeping those resolutions. I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever made a New Year's resolution? And by the end of the year, you were no longer doing that resolution? By the end of the January, you weren't keeping that New Year's resolution anymore? Well, David had made some resolutions and he had not followed through with those. But what brought about the revival of those resolutions? The revival of those covenants and commitments? It was a burning heart. It was a burning heart. He said in verse 3, my heart was hot within me. He had been growing cold, but now he was getting hot again. His burning heart brought a personal revival and a renewal to keep the covenants that he had made with God. Whereas his spiritual life had become stale, he is now once again passionately living for God. In verse 2, it says he was dumb with silence, but in verse 3, he says, then spake I with my tongue. It was the burning in his heart that brought about this change, that brought about this revival, this renewal in his life. Why do we need a burning heart? Because when our heart is growing cold and spiritual complacency is beginning to set in, a burning heart will keep us growing. Instead of our life becoming stagnant, we can find the passion once again to follow God and to serve Him and put eternal things in the right perspective. Someone has said complacency is a blight that saps energy, dulls attitudes, and causes a drain on the brain. The first symptom is satisfaction with things as they are. The second is rejection of things as they might be. Good enough becomes today's watchword and tomorrow's standard. Complacency makes people fear the unknown, mistrust the untried, and abhor the new. We need a burning heart to keep us from getting complacent this year. Lamentations, it says, woe to those that are at ease, those who have been complacent in Zion. We cannot just be satisfied with things as they are. We cannot reject what could be. We can't accept the good over the best. In a burning heart will keep us reaching higher, aiming further, seeking more, and growing forward. It will keep us growing. It'll allow us to become stronger and stronger and stronger. I love the story of former football coach of Auburn University who looked up one of his former players who had become a professional. And he said, I would like you to do some recruiting for us. And the player said, Coach, what kind of player are we looking for? And the coach said, well, you know the guy that gets knocked down and he stays down? Yeah, we don't want him, do we, coach? Coach said, no, we don't want him. What kind of guy do we want, coach? Well, you know the guy that gets knocked down, gets up, gets knocked down again, stays down? We don't want him, do we, coach? No, we don't want him either. Well, what kind of guy do we want, coach? Well, you know the guy that gets knocked down, gets up, gets knocked down, gets up, gets knocked down, gets up? He's the kind of guy we want, isn't it, coach? Coach said, no, we don't want him either. We want the one that's going around knocking everybody down. That's what we need to be as Christians. We need to be the ones that are not knocking each other down or not knocking others down, but are knocking for the Lord spiritually and going around as a spiritual force, bringing people into the kingdom of God. I don't ever want to quit improving, quit growing, stop becoming stronger. I don't want to get to a place in my Christian life where David had found himself and said, I was silent, I held my peace. How about you? How about you? But if you forget your covenants with God, may God give you a burning heart so that they are renewed in your life. Well, you'll notice the source of David's burning heart. He tells what that source is in verse 3. While I was what? While I was musing, the fire burned. While he was musing, while he was meditating, his heart began to burn. Meditation is a match that ignites a fire in the heart. Meditating on God, meditating on the goodness of God and the grace of God, meditating on the Word of God and the work of God, meditating on the power of God and the plan that God has for your life. If you find yourself growing cold spiritually, and you find yourself with the fire on the altar of your heart beginning to go out, what you need to do is you need to start meditating on God, thinking about God. If we don't keep a burning heart, we will take lightly our spiritual resolutions and commitments. But on the other hand, a burning heart will keep us growing. Let me give you one more example of a burning heart. Why we need a burning heart in 2011. A burning heart is not only needed to keep us going. It's not only needed to keep us growing. But a burning heart is also needed to keep us glowing. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Matthew, Mark, Luke. This is the account of two of the disciples of Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Jesus had just been crucified 3 days earlier. We read in verse 32. Luke chapter 24, verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? The two disciples on the road to Emmaus had a burning heart, just like Jeremiah had, just like David had. Gypsy Smith was once asked why God had used him in the way he had through the years. And his answer was, I never lost the wonder of it all. I never lost the wonder of it all. I never lost the wonder that Jesus reached down and saved me. Never lost the wonder all these years of serving God. Tragically, many Christians lose the wonder. It has been said that the older we get, the colder we get. But we must keep a burning heart. We must not lose the wonder of it all. These two Emmaus disciples remind us that a burning heart will keep us glowing. It's interesting, you know, that Jesus knows the condition of the heart. He knows the condition of your heart this morning, and He knows just the thing, just the prescription to heal your heart this morning. We read in Luke chapter 24, verses 15 through 17. See, Jesus had met them on the road, and He came and he began to talk with them. This is what these verses are about. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" Jesus recognized their sadness. He had joined with them on their walk. And although at first He did not reveal Himself to them, they didn't know who He was. One of the things He immediately noticed was their sadness. Why were they sad? They were sad because Jesus had been crucified. His death had become a major blow to their dreams and their hopes. Their dreams, their hopes were expressed in verse 21, "But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel." They were looking to Jesus. They were looking to Him to be the Messiah, the one that would redeem Israel and free them from their oppressors. But now Jesus had gone to the cross, and they had watched Him as He hung on the cross, and they had watched Him die. And now their dreams and their hopes died with Him. They would not be delivered from Roman rule and bondage. His death had thrown cold water on their dreams. Vance Havner said they were right in their chronology and in their theology, but they had no doxology. The fire had gone out in their heart. And if we are not careful, we can let the things of this life, the things that happen in this life, be like a wet blanket that smothers our dreams, our aspirations, and our goals. A.B. Simpson said, "Our God has boundless resources. The only limit is in asking. Our asking, our thinking, our praying is too small. Our expectations are too limited." In some cases, though, the problem is not that our expectations are too limited, but certain things have happened that have just stuck a dagger into our heart. And we've lost our hope, and we've lost the dream. We've lost the goal somewhere. Sometimes we're like the field goal kicker of Michigan State. There was only a few seconds left in a tied game against UCLA. Coach Duffy Daugherty sent in Dave Kaiser, who kicked the game-winning field goal. When Kaiser returned to the bench, Coach Daugherty said, "Nice going, but you didn't watch the ball after you kicked it." Kaiser replied, "Coach, I was watching the referee instead to see if I hit it. I forgot my contact lenses and I couldn't see the goalposts." Sometimes as Christians, we lose sight of the goal. We can't see the goal. We've lost our spiritual sight. We've forgotten things along the way. We've forgotten how powerful God is. We've forgotten what God has done for us. We've forgotten what God can do. Sometimes we lose sight of our goals and our dreams. However, these two on the road to Emmaus, even though their hopes and their dreams had been shattered, Jesus spoke to them. They met with Jesus, and their hearts began to burn once again. Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us and walked with us along the way? And Jesus took their saddened hearts and made them glad. In verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. Jesus began to take them through the scriptures, showing that He was there on every page, showing how He was the shadow and the foreshadow and the figures. And as he talked with them and explained to them these things, the fire started burning in their heart again, and their hopelessness turned into hopefulness. Their consternation turned into expectation. Their desperation changed into inspiration, and gloomy faces turned into glowing faces. Why do we need a burning heart for this new year? We need a burning heart to keep us going, because there will be some things that will come our way this year that will distress us, that will discourage us, and the thing that will keep us going is a burning heart. There will be things this year that will try to hinder us from growing. We might be tempted to become stagnant in our spiritual walk and in our spiritual growth, and we need the fire in our heart to keep us growing. There might be things that come our way this year that will shatter our dreams, would tempt us to think that all things are hopeless, and that we would stop believing and stop striving and stop reaching, and we need the fire burning in our hearts so that we can keep glowing. And the answer for these disciples on the road to Emmaus, the answer for their saddened condition and their gloomy hearts and outlook, the answer was to spend time with Jesus. To spend time with Jesus. As they walked with Him and as they talked with Him, the fire began to burn again. And I tell you that working for the Lord is no substitute for worship. We need to spend time worshiping at the feet of Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the secret to a burning heart. I would say that if we could somehow do a study and find out those who no longer have hearts ablaze for Jesus, it is because they have stopped reading His Word. They have stopped their commitments that they have made. And they've stopped spending time with Jesus. But on the other hand, if we would simply do those things, if we would read God's Word faithfully, if we would spend time with Jesus, if we would concentrate on growing by meditating on God's Word, we can keep going. We can keep going. We can keep growing, and we can keep glowing. Keep a burning heart. Let the words of the hymn writer Edward Hatch be your prayer. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Never let the fire go out on the altar of your heart.